Okay, council's back in session, and we're on 9B.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. Before you is a development code amendment and a tentative parcel map. This involves property associated with a recently approved general plan amendment. Tonight, there's four recommended actions for you. The first is to adopt an ordinance amending the zoning map to be consistent with the general plan amendment. The second is to adopt a resolution approving the tentative parcel map that creates four parcels from two. The third is to authorize the city manager to execute a reimbursement agreement. And the fourth is to authorize the city manager to amend a memorandum of understanding. On the screen behind me is a aerial photo of the proposed zoning change. Property here to be rezoned to public facilities here and here, associated with the school and Mr. Taylor's property, and rezoning of the property up on the hill to residential hillside. Also, I have a tentative parcel map that's proposed, basically creating four parcels out of two parcels. And as I flip through it, you'll see parcel number one, parcel number two, three, and four. There's public improvements associated with this, and Craig from the Wallace Group is here to give a little background if you need it. So far, there's been detailed property survey, drainage studies, road improvement, engineering, and it was completed based upon city standards and to ensure that drainage problems in the area would not be made worse by this project. Also look to maintain under road capacity, possibly create larger flood flows without diverting waters west of Valley Road, and to reduce or eliminate ponding adjacent to the high school and Valley Road, except during flood flows. There's a few exhibits here for your discussion if you need it, showing the proposed improvements to the road as well as to drainage. There is some funding associated with this. Road construction and drainage amounts to $700,000. $650,000 of it will come from JH Land Partnership, $50,000 from the city of Rio Grande. Mitigation for loss of agricultural land totals $100,000. This will come from JH Land Partnership. In the future, developer of the Lucia Mara property shall pay a fair share following approval of the subdivision to reimburse portions of the cost to JH Land Partnership. And funding to the city shall be paid within 6 months of the final tract map or March 1st, 2008, whichever is sooner. That concludes my staff report. I can answer questions. Craig's here, also the city manager. I'm sure we'll answer questions on funding. Thank you.
Questions on the staff report?
Do you want to head to it, Steve?
Staff report. As on the slide, the road would be paid, road costs would be paid $50,000 from the city and $650,000 from JH Land Partnership. The ag mitigation has been reduced from $200,000 to $100,000, but we still think that amount is consistent with what we talked about on other potential properties. I passed out a memo to each of you that kind of outlines the formula that would be utilized in amending the MOU and for the reimbursement agreement. What's been proposed by JH Land and we are recommending is that the city would enter into a reimbursement agreement with JH Land Partnership when the potential future developer of the Lucia Mar School District property subdivides that property at that time, if it's subdivided, if the subdivision is approved, they would then pay their fair share of those improvement costs, and through the reimbursement agreement, that would be paid back to JH Land Partnership at that time. And Craig, and if you could just briefly touch on the drainage improvements.
All right. As the council, I think, knows from prior presentations, there's a large watershed that feeds the drainage of this, and similar to Newsom Springs, we have about 1,200 CFS approaching the site in a 100-year storm. Using this display here, it comes off the adjoining development above the school's fields here in a full-sized 100-year ditch. It's about 60 feet wide. And, you know, the ultimate solution of conveying that all the way on down through here would have taken substantial portions of the field, the buildings, the parking lot, and impacted the agricultural fields. And again, we looked at an interim solution. And that interim solution was basically based on the goals of getting the floodwaters to go where they have traditionally done or gone to, avoiding impacts to anybody, and to leaving the access road with the same level of protection it has now, meaning get the same amount of water at a minimum that goes under it as it does now. So currently, when the 100-year flow approaches the school's agricultural fields, there's the existing road here. So the current proposal is simple, the interim proposal. We take this arch culvert, we extend it under the road. We contain the floodwaters all on this side of the property, and that's through the construction of a berm and wall. Basically, the berm that's there now gets made taller and in some places converted to a wall because it conflicts with school improvements. And the reason for that is that if floodwaters were to get over onto this side and the road was raised up over the new culvert, then those floodwaters wouldn't make it over the road and they would go this way instead. And we want them to go where they always have done, which is on down this way. So there's a barrier along here. Any water that doesn't get in the ditch will cross over the road in this location and come onto the property and flow on down where it always has. So the main issue is for the school, they will see increased flood protection here and more flooding here. Other than that, drainage will pretty much stay the same. The flooding that occurs here will be improved because we will be taking this pipe and increasing the size of it and steeping in it and separating this outlet from being connected with the existing drainage. So with that, I'll answer any questions.
I have a question, Craig. Do you have a copy of Exhibit A that you can put up on the overhead that shows the Haddock's property?
Oh, can you do that?
What's Exhibit A? I don't know what Exhibit A is.
I don't.
Is it in here?
No.
Is that Exhibit A?
The Haddock's property is surrounding here.
Right, and that really doesn't show up very well. Okay, that's a better one. The question that I have is, I was wondering if...
that are on that side and look at the topography.
I guess my concern is that we have an existing problem right now with the Castillo del Mar surface drainage into the Haddock's property, that at least in the tour that we took up there with Ella Honeycutt, isn't the best of circumstances in terms of its impact on the... I guess, for lack of a better description, is that pond area, which is a wetlands and habitat, the connection or the relationship, if you will, to what is being proposed is a gray area for me right now. And in terms of the drainage plan for this whole proposal, I'm wondering whether or not we can revisit what's occurring up there now and with an attempt to perhaps improve it. I think what needs to happen is somebody needs to go up there, if it's you or staff, somebody needs to go up there and take a look at what's happening right now and then look at what we're proposing in terms of drainage. See if there's a way in which we can remedy what's happening up there now. I don't know if there is. or what our recourse is there, or whether it's a separate issue. But that's my concern, at least right now.
I guess I would say not that it can't be looked into. I think it is probably a separate issue in that the Haddocks property is upstream from this property, and the drainage improvements that we're talking about are really just passing through the upstream watershed through across the road and across the parcels. And what's going on at Haddocks won't be modified in any way or impacted in any way. They're upstream, and this drainage, this doesn't affect them in that issue in any way. Again, not that it can't be looked into, but I think it's separate.
Okay.
Just a quick question, Craig. You said that you want to get the all of this is designed to get the flow going the way it normally goes. Once the water goes there, what happens to it after it gets to where it always goes? Does it pond there and pool up, or does it flow away somewhere? Or?
No, it flows parallel to Valley Road.
That other one back up, please. Jim, for clarification, on this particular exhibit that we received in our staff report, this is the parcel here that is being considered for designation as public facility. Is that correct, as I read this? So it looks like to me, with the configuration, the extension of Castillo del Mar is going to come through this particular area here. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we're talking about then there will be property still to the, what would that be, I'll call it the south or the west or however you want to call it, that will be actually public facilities before the Hillside Residential starts?
If we can switch over to the other screen, maybe it clarifies it a little bit. Sorry about that. Okay, so you can see the property is proposed to be split at the road. So really public facilities will be associated with the athletic fields at the high school. And the zoning will stop at the road, and then on the other side of the road will be residential hillside.
Okay, so the actual, okay, it's just this particular exhibit is maybe unclear then. That's what I was looking at. So the dividing line will actually be the road itself.
That's correct.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on the staff report? Okay, this is our second public hearing. We typically allow the applicant to go first, and this would be an opportunity for anyone representing the applicant to come forward if you so desire.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. My name is Carol Florence, Principal Planner with Oasis Associates, and here this evening representing Lucia Mar Unified School District. I had an opportunity over the last few weeks while staff has been working on the road design and drainage to share with my client the drainage plan and road configuration you see before you this evening. They understand and concur with the current design. Obviously, the property will be impacted, for example, the parking lot, some of the parking space. Tailored this concept and received an email from his legal counsel later this afternoon that he's also in concurrence with this and understands fully, as does the Lucia Mar Unified School District Board, that we will again have to revisit the MOU and have that re-signed, if you will. And I don't know if we need to come back to you with that for another signing, but nonetheless, at least for those two entities involved and parties involved with the MOU, I believe that they understand what's before you this evening, and based on that, are just recommending that you approve the parcel map this evening and the changes that you see to the conditions to the map. there is a representative from J.H. Lantern this evening as well, or representatives, if you'd like to hear from them. If you have any questions of me, I'd be more than happy to answer those for you.
Any questions? Councilmember Dickens?
Carol, has there been any discussion with the school district in regards to the property to the south, the 10 acres, I will call it the 10 acres, the hillside that's been rezoned to hillside, in regards to some of the environmental concerns that have come before this council, such as the ponding basins upstream, or actually off this property, but then the depression and the natural ponding on this particular site?
I have been very open with the school board and the superintendent about all of the issues that have been discussed with staff as well as with Planning Commission and Council, and tried to help them understand if either they move forward or if the property is authorized for sale, that someone else would move forward and go through a similar process of any subdivision that you review, a full initial study, trying to determine if there are, in fact, significant impacts, and if those are identified, if those can be mitigated. So they are aware that these properties have some environmental components to them that would need to be studied.
If you recall at the last public hearing, and we talked about this, I made the comment specifically of putting the conservation overlay on that particular parcel to identify
zoning to RH is some direction to a developer that says it's probably a good idea to look at clustering your development, because there's something about this particular piece, some interesting, unique, special environmental aspect that needs some care, and therefore the cluster aspect comes into play. I believe that your staff is certainly well qualified under CEQA to analyze that without, at this juncture, applying a conservation overlay, because I would like to think that any developer, intelligent developer that comes forward with a cluster development, you may at that point condition them to place the potential of an open space parcel in the conservation easement itself, or an overlay. I think the recognition, just because all projects are reviewed under CEQA, is there, and I think that the practice would bring forward any of those issues and hopefully resolve those in the process.
So in your mind, if we were to place an overlay, like a conservation overlay on this parcel, do you think that would, in a sense, create some additional hardships or some additional concerns on the school district's point of view?
I think it would be somewhat redundant, because I think that the recognition of environmental concerns is very well taken care of as we go through the California Environmental Quality Act and the guidelines and that particular process, that will reveal those aspects early on in the process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, thank you. Anyone else who would like to come forward on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public hearing portion of 9B, and we'll start with Councilmember Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have no problems with this. I'm satisfied with the proposed funding that will be paid for by JH Land Partnership and then reimbursed in the future by the new developer of the hillside project. So other than that, I do believe that the flooding...
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Dickens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the conceptual issues. As stated before, I have a little bit of a desire to be honest with the potential buyer of this particular parcel, that there are environmental concerns. And I guess I would continue to stick with the fact that I think it's appropriate for us to to notify them in regards to an overlay on this parcel. So I would still like to see a conservation overlay on this particular parcel. I'm referring specifically to the one that's being looked at for redesignation as a residential hillside. The other issue that I have with this is that due to the increased cost of the road and the drainage improvements that we're looking at, the loser in this particular memo of understanding is actually our ag policy. We had a $200,000 mitigation that was being placed towards ag mitigation, and that's been reduced in half. And I think that we should make every effort. If we're looking at doing a reimbursement agreement with the soon-to-be parcel to the south that's going to be zoned residential hillside and doing a reimbursement for some dollars on the road, I think that we should also be looking at recouping what our original agreement was the $200,000. I think it's only appropriate in what hasn't been brought out. We did deal with the mitigation or the negative deck that was adopted at our last meeting. But one of the things I think that may not have been identified as clearly as I would like it to be is the fact that we were not only rezoning this portion right here out of Prime Ag, but this portion right here is also considered prime ag based on our the lower portion of this particular property, which to me tells me that we should also be looking at that mitigation. Things have changed since our last environmental review, and I think that it's important to maintain the policies that we have developed in our general plan and not deeper than that. I think that we can modify the MOU as staff has directed us, but I would like to add for some potential reimbursement of ag mitigation to bring that back up to the original MOU when indeed the parcel is developed. Thank you.
Okay. Before we go any further, Jim, could you take another look at the funding paragraph? Maybe I'm just reading this wrong. It is now proposed to be funded $650,000. We're talking about the road here, JH Land Partnership, and 50% from the city. An additional $100,000 will be provided by JH Land for mitigation of projected loss of prime agricultural soils. JH Land Partnership has agreed to increase their mitigation payment by up to $150,000, so on and so forth. But that $150,000, I understand, would be reimbursed at a later date based on any future developments to whoever develops that rezoned parcel. What does that mean in terms of how much are we actually looking at here in terms of prime farmland mitigation?
We're recommending at this time $100,000 for the mitigation of the loss of prime soils.
Then what's $150,000?
That's the their portion of the increased costs. The increased cost of the road and the drainage improvements was $300,000. And what's proposed is they will pay $150,000 of that. The other $150,000 would come from $50,000 from the city and $100,000 from what had been the prior recommendation of $200,000 for ag mitigation.
Okay, what's confusing me is a sentence here that says JH Land Partnership has agreed to increase their mitigation payment by up to $150,000.
Correct. Once again, from what they had prior agreed to in the MOU,
to Member Costello.
Thank you. I guess the question I have for staff would be if we were to try to incorporate some sort of mitigation fee for the loss of the ag land, as Councilman Member Dickens just proposed, what would be involved? We have to get all the parties together to sign on this again?
What we would probably do is propose to use the same formula that's recommended here and add those costs in the formula that would then the future potential developer would then that would just impact the ultimate cost that they would pay, and then the city would get paid back a portion as well as JH Land Partnership. And that would not provide, once again, that would not provide any initial money. It could be, you know, years off, but we would get some reimbursement. It would make it a little complicated in terms of changing the language, but that.
Well, for the sake of brevity, I'll say that I can support what's in front of me. I think it's appropriate, but I'd like to see if we can't include some sort of future mitigation to offset that loss of $100,000 for the agricultural mitigation that that we were talking about. So
the only issue is getting response from the school district if they would agree to that. I don't think it really impacts JH Land Partnership, so they probably won't care. But
okay. Why don't we hang on a second and we'll get all the way through this. There may be more questions, Carol. Okay. Was that it?
That's it.
All right. Mayor Pro Tem?
Just one quick question for Tim or Steve. Just when we're looking at the MOU, we haven't executed the MOU. With our action tonight, are we, I'm going to say, precluding the MOU? In other words, let's say the whole thing fell apart and the MOU never got executed. Aren't we tonight actually rezoning everything tonight? It seems like we're doing this a little bit backwards, but is there some sort of a provision that says the MOU has to be executed or the rezoning doesn't take place? Just sorry if I missed that.
That's a good observation. You are doing the rezone tonight, and the precautions we took were in the actual, since it's difficult to condition a zoning change, we've conditioned the resolution approving the parcel map, and as you'll see, we added a provision to condition 15, a new condition 16 that essentially tries to get you to the same place. But you're right, district, that was their impetus to be here. But the precaution we took was the condition there in the resolution.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have any trouble going forward with the proposal, and hopefully this will be the end of it. We won't have have another card played here. But so on the ag mitigation, I'll be interested to hear from the school district on that. It does seem that in some ways the residential parcel does benefit strongly from the road, and the road is what is tripping the ag mitigation. So I do think there's a nexus there between the ultimate development of the residential portion here and the ag mitigation that's actually taking place now, which I know is sometimes difficult if the improvement is already in place to then collect in arrears for an improvement that's already been made. That would be my only concern there.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any big issues with this. I would support, I think, even though it's going to be a delayed process, I would support Councilmember Dickens' concerns, and if there's a way that we can accommodate that additional mitigation, even though it may be far off, at least it's a matter of record and it's in there. This would be a time, Carol, if you wanted to make a comment on the proposed modification, if you will, of the MOU, how that's likely to sit.
Mr. Mayor, Council Members, Carol Florence again on behalf of the school district. I honestly can't tell you how that would sit. I think that I would need a little more detail about exactly dollar amount that we're talking about. I think it's very clear that we're accepting the fact that the reimbursement and the fair share of that reimbursement for the roadway has been very well spelled out in the revised MOU, but I'm rather unclear how we would administer the same thing for the agricultural parcel, because in all honesty, the dollar amounts from the original MOU were arrived at. He has no intention of selling the property at this point, and could tomorrow decide that they have school district needs and it would be more akin to public facilities again. So with that said, I don't know if your very capable staff could come up with language that conditions some future development at this juncture, because we don't really have a good number to deal with. I'm sorry if that's not an adequate answer for you.
No, it's probably all you can do right now.
Thank
but
you.
I think that's all the questions we had. The and I think you're right. We, you know, this is new territory for us in terms of establishing mitigation levels. And while there may not have been science applied to the original number, there was no science applied to the reduction of that original number. So I'm not sure where we are, but I do have confidence in staff in terms of being able to craft the language. My question, coming back to our action tonight, is I'm anticipating, Tim, at least a minimum of three motions. Is that correct? One for adopting the ordinance, one for adopting the resolution. I was wondering if we could combine three and four, since it's authorization to the city manager to do two things, but it still deals with authorization.
Yes, that would be appropriate.
All right, let me ask you this then. If can we build within the third motion where we authorize Steve to execute the reimbursement agreement and also any amendment to the MOU, can we build into that third motion the contingency, if you will, that if this does fall apart or there are problems or the players aren't lining up, that comes back, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The direction provided by staff, the last fragment of number four, was basically that issue.
Okay. All right. And hopefully that's a bit of structure then for a motion that I will ask for at this time, actually a series of them. Who would like to step forward?
Mr. Mayor, before a motion, could I maybe ask staff for some direction in regards to how we would, if it were council's desire,
plus what, you know, what it is you'd want to reimburse, and then if you could give us some flexibility how to structure it in the MOU.
I think the question, if I understand, is what also is there going to be a trigger for the person that may be buying the land to realize that these conditions, do we need to actually create a CC&R or not? I mean, something that's going to ride a deed restriction, that's going to ride in the title, so that they're aware that this is there, and that would also trigger the, let's say this didn't happen for 15 years and none of us are around to remember that there's money's owed. I guess I think that's what you were getting at, is it not?
Well, that or which which resolution or which ordinance should that be placed into, and under what, or do we actually add an additional condition in one of the ordinances that we're looking at this evening? I guess that's what I'm asking.
Well, the only place to put it would be the resolution approving the parcel map. There are some issues regarding the nexus between that condition and the actual creation of the parcel map, because what we're really talking about is subdivision of the parcel map, subdivision of the lot, the residential lot created for the school district. So I think it's...
At what point does the trigger happen for reimbursement of the increased road cost on this particular parcel?
At subdivision of the school district residential parcel. And that would be the appropriate time to deal with that same issue. I would suggest we do it through the memorandum of understanding. I think that's that's probably the most convenient and expedient place. It would be difficult. Well, we could put it in the resolution before you tonight, but I'm not sure, A, how the school district would react, and then, B, how enforceable it would be. I think with the direction from the council, we would just attempt to modify the MOU to include a provision that would seek some form of additional mitigation for the loss of Primag soils.
Well, let me ask you this. Where is it this evening that we are placing the reimbursement for the fair share reimbursement for the road improvements?
I think that's Section 3J of your MOU, the modified MOU that's up there.
And remember, as far as the question about clarifying it for any future developer is, the conditions of the parcel map refer to the MOU here and talk about, once again, it says any residential or commercial development of the parcels created by this approval shall be required to pay a fair share as determined by the City Council.
The $100,000 that was part of the original MOU that's being made up. Because reality is that we based this entire process on a $200,000 ag mitigation. We based our mitigated negative deck that was approved at our last meeting on the $200,000 of ag land mitigation. And now it's coming back and being reduced. And so I guess that's the only thing that's being reduced. And I'm trying to recapture those costs.
I think as far as the first two actions, that's covered in the language that's been provided. I would recommend that you provide that direction in the third motion, which would be authorizing me to execute the memorandum of understanding and provide some specific direction of what you want included in that.
Okay, well, I think you just did.
I think we have the direction.
Yeah.
Try to recover the $100,000 we've lost right. As a result of this, and as much of it as we can.
Okay, so then it becomes the responsibility of the city to archive and recall the MOU whenever there's any activity on that piece of property, right?
We'll be painfully aware of the MOU and its relationship to the development of that parcel.
Okay. Painful awareness is a good thing. All right. Any other questions or clarifications?
I do have one because I'm not sure. Was that actually a motion or was that? No, it was just a discussion.
No.
Okay. He made reference, Councilman Dickens made reference earlier to a conservation easement overlay or something to that effect. I'm a little wary because I don't know exactly what that means. And so it sounds like the school district might be afraid of that terminology too. And so if all it does is give us more awareness but doesn't have any more teeth, then I think I want to stay away from it either way, because if it gives more teeth, I have a feeling that they're not going to like it. And if it doesn't have more teeth, it sounds like it has teeth. And so I completely understand what you're getting at, and I do believe this parcel is, no matter what we put on it, is going to have a lot of due diligence required. And so if a fool buys it, I guess they're surely parted with their money. So I doubt that's going to happen, but I want
potential environmental concerns. So all it is just a trigger or a notification that just says to the buyer, this is something we're going to be looking at as a city. That's really all my intent was. And does that mean the environmental review will be any less or any greater? Absolutely not. It just means that it's just as an overlay.
I think what we're saying is that I think we can get to where Jim wants to go with a full scope EIR.
Yeah, well, we're not going to require that right now.
That's not what I'm hearing.
Okay.
So. I don't think that's what I'm hearing. But who knows? All right. That brings us full circle then back to the recommendations this evening. And we have a minimum of three motions. Who would like to offer all three, hopefully?
I'll do at least the first two. I'll propose an ordinance of the City of Arroyo Grande amending zoning map to designate the subject properties as residential hillside RH and public facility PF development code amendment 06-004 initiated by the City of Arroyo Grande for property located on and adjacent to the Arroyo Grande High School campus.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
No.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes.
And I'll propose a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande adopting a mitigated negative declaration and approving general plan amendment case number 06-001, reclassifying 11.1 acres from community facilities to single-family residential low density and reclassifying 1.2 acres from agriculture to community facilities, including the extension of Castillo Del Mar Drive from Orchard Street to Valley Road.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion on this motion?
Just as a matter of clarification, that's the revised version that was handed out this evening with condition 16. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion considers the revised version.
Second.
For the second, rather.
Yes.
Okay.
That included the road improvements and also the reimbursement for ag mitigation. And that we also authorize the city manager to execute an MOU reflecting the proposed change of the payment provided by JH Land Partnership and any other modifications necessary to carry out the direction provided by City Council.
Second.
Okay. So the modifications can be throughout the whole MOU process. Is that?
I was going to say, as a matter of clarification, they may find their way into the MOU and the reimbursement and or both.
Right.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Thank you. All right, that takes us to item 10, continued business. We have none this evening. New business, we have none. Item 12, city council member items. Following items are placed on the agenda by a council member. Which council member would that be?
I believe that was me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, council member Arnold, would you like to elaborate on 12A?
Yes, I don't actually have it in front of me, but I do know what it is in regards to. It's the Coastal Oak, is that what they're calling it now?
Ocean Oaks.
Ocean Oaks project is proposing to convert several of their two-bedroom units to three bedrooms. And the concern that I have is with the affordability of the units. And so Planning Commission did have a hearing on this. The concern that I have right now is that actually all of the units potentially that are converted to three bedrooms could be made the affordable units, which would yield a higher per unit cost than the two bedrooms, because we base our affordability on number of bedrooms. And while we're requiring them to, I believe it's make four of the units affordable, there's no restriction that says they couldn't make all of their affordable units the three bedrooms. And so therefore my concern is right now that we may have just lost all the lower priced affordable units that were two bedrooms.
Okay. City manager items, anything this evening? 14, council communications. 15, staff communications. All right. Item 16, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members, or I should say member of the public, to come forward and comment on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not.
Hi, my name is Colleen Martin, 855 Olive Street. I'm here for two things. First off, to recommend a proposed agenda item, and that would be to look at a rubric or some kind of threshold or some kind of formula regarding mitigations for prime soils and ag prime soils. Twice tonight on two different projects, mitigations were recommended, and there was no formula. It was just kind of picked out of the sky. We did reference the project over by the hospital and some type of formula we used over there. I would like to see some kind of policy item put in place regarding some kind of formula for these type of mitigations. What is an acre of ag prime soils worth? And let's so we're not playing and testing it every single time it comes before you. Let's set something in place. And same with the prime soils issue. On that regard, it would also be nice if we had some type of rubric. I know the Planning Commission has asked for it and discussed it many times regarding some type of rubric to decide at what point have you met the threshold for an EIR versus an MND. Same kind of ideas, looking at some objective kind of scaling for some of the decisions you make. The question I have, and this is in response to the decision you made tonight regarding the MND for the Cherry Creek project, is you all agreed that the language could be amended in the mitigated negative deck regarding the description of the subject property and include that it's surrounded by a active commercial farming in a conservation easement, and perhaps also include that it is no longer surrounded by high-density residential. My question when I was in the back listening to this was, the reason you would amend the negative MND would be because you were going to recirculate it and people got the wrong impression on the description of the project when they responded, like the air quality and all these other agencies that we recirculated it to. In looking at the MND, if we're going to have it be the MND that's going to work for the historically, I'm asking you, what would be the reason to amend the mitigated negative deck if the Planning Commission's not going to discuss it and we're not going to recirculate it to those agencies? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Perhaps, Colleen, we can sit down at some point and you can discuss it with Steve, and we can go from there. I think what's being proposed, at least the language modifications that I understood, were designations that were specific to the Dixon Ranch. And so I don't know. I'm looking at that as being pretty minor. I don't know if that triggers recirculation or not. So, but feel free to follow up with Steve. Okay, I see no other members of the public. And with that, that'll take us to item 17, which is adjournment. Okay, thank you.